Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. And from boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. So go sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit bonus to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And picks, Prize Picks. Prize Picks is DFS simplified. Head over to PrizePicks.com and use promo code SGP for a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. And Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet the head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or just head to BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. And, of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app. You're home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right, welcome back, DGens, to the DFS and Betting Show for the Houston Open. It's your boy, Boston Capper, and the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, you ready for some Texas love?
Back to the United States swing. We have ShotLink and everything.
ShotLink. Oh, my Lord.
I know. We're so spoiled, aren't we? So, no, I'm definitely ready for the Houston Open. I crunched a lot of stats this week and got some interesting leans. I mean, it's always hard when, you know, you only got one tournament to bank on, and there's always, you know, there's the period where we haven't seen either some of these guys about a month, or we haven't seen any of the short skinny data. So it's tough. You gotta, you know, either have faith with some of the guys you're picking, you know, trying to match golf course fit to a golf course with limited rounds that might play a little differently than last year. Yeah, it's going to be tough, but, I think I got some good picks this week. So, yeah, let's get right to it. So, you know, you listened to my little spiel on Sunday, and I guess where's your head at as far as like the last 48 hours of digesting stuff and what you plan handicapping with this week?
Yeah, so I mean, like we talked about, right? Like being long off the tee, I think is important. It's not the most important thing, but I definitely don't want a short knocker. And from my text earlier, I'm sure you can see I want better longer iron players, right? And I was trying to kind of decipher through some information on, all right, who's good at this and who's good at that. And even Texas, you know, it's weird. There's no overlap. I mean, it's a 25 yard increments. And I don't know if you have something that maybe they do overlap based on what you told me, but like I couldn't find anybody who overlapped in at least the 175 to 200 range. It was weird. But yeah, just strong, longer iron players, good off the box. And I think around the green, man, I mean, last year it was really tough around the green. And I got to set it up the same way. I think that's the biggest question for me. Since the Masters isn't following the next week, are they still going to set it up the same way they did last year?
So here's the thing, and this is actually in reference to something I was complaining about earlier with you. So I looked, the scorecard yardage last year of Memorial Park was around 7,050 mm-hmm. yards. Sure, and yeah. And people were saying, oh, it's a really long golf course. And I was saying, well, I mean, it was 7,000 yards, but people are getting to the right answer for the wrong reasons. You know, there's still a lot of long approach shots in the greens there. But I looked on the PGA Tour website, and in fact, they are doing 7,400 yard scorecards. So they're pushing back the tee boxes.
Oh, shit.
I guess. Okay. So it is going to be a very long par 70. Ooh. And
got it. Oh, they didn't even adjust the 70 and they lengthened it by 400?
Yeah, I think number 18 is usually a par five for the public, and it's gonna be a par four for this tournament. So, yeah, I still think it'll play difficult because it is a longer golf course. We'll talk about the weather report, but I think it's gonna play pretty firm. Now, the wind's not gonna be as bad as last year. But yeah, I guess one other thing I want to mention too with your proximity stats, I mean, those are pretty misleading just because, you know, there's a lot of noise in that data. You know, it could be like any of your proximity stats, all it really tells you just how close the ball is to the hole. But I mean, sometimes a guy would opt to be 30 feet from the hole because it's a safe, you know, approach shot. Or if a guy goes flag hunting, missing the wrong place, is 15, that actually looks better in the stats. So, and there's like uphill shots, downhill shots. I mean, like what we really need is the strokes gain data by yardage, which I have not been able to find anywhere.
Yeah.
I think it's kept behind in like secret. I think some people have it.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to find it. So, but how I did proximity, I took the last 3 years. You know, that's a pretty big sample size. And I just did 175 plus. It covers everything.
Right.
And then just a composite average, basically. And I'm not using it as gospel. You know, it's just the cherry on top. If I like a guy, or maybe I don't like a guy and I see that might push me over the edge and maybe not like somebody. So, I use more about like, you know, course comps. I mentioned Augusta National, Riviera, TBC Scottsdale. I thought there were some crossovers between guys who did well last year there. You know, with Augusta and Riviera, there's a lot of, you know, undulated greens and it plays firm, and that place, you know, Memorial Park's probably gonna do the same thing. A couple other golf courses I noticed just racking my brain that had like really undulated greens and like tight chipping areas around it. Well, Trinity Forest is one, you know, and that's also by Coren Crenshaw. And I kind of think Tom Doak and Coren Crenshaw, just how they kind of set up golf courses, their architectural style, it's pretty similar. You know, I mean, they both try and set up a golf course where, you know, it's pretty easy to make par or make bogey if you just want to. If you want to play safe golf, you can do it. But if you're somebody like a PGA Tour pro, wants to go low, maybe you get aggressive and you miss the wrong spot, you get punished. And that's usually pretty good golf design. And both those guys tend to set up the golf courses and, you know, build them the same. So, yeah. So, like, I mean, Trinity Forest is a Coren Crenshaw. Kapalua is a Coren Crenshaw. I think the principles there are basically the same. WGC Concession also was undulated and had tight chipping areas around there, too. That was more of, like, late stage Jack, too, when he kind of talked more to, like, you know, modern golf architecture. Like, it's different than, like, the Memorial, how he used to build it. So, I looked at those golf courses, and I was able to find some guys, you know, I like this week. So. Okay. Yeah, we'll go over there. So why don't we go over some DFS ownership, and then we'll get to the weather report, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, let's take a look here. So 10K range is fucking actually really big this week. It's kind of funny, man. So everybody's chalky up here, basically. I mean, it's pretty spread out. I guess nobody really owns a whole lot other than Sam Burns, highest owned player at the highest price. And look, for good reason, right? Like I said, I mean, I don't know if you can find a flaw in this game right now.
I mean, maybe not on this surface, maybe not on this golf course, but yeah, I mean, I think I heard a stat that over the last 50 rounds, only Jon Rahm has been better than him in total strokes gained.
I mean, it's really, I mean, look, whatever, he's jockey for a fucking reason. I mean, the lowest owned guy in this range is like 10%. That's Tony Finau.
Yeah. He's a long hitter. I think he did reasonably well last year at the golf course.
So, and then in the 9K range, I'm actually surprised Brooksy's not chalkier at 9,900 with as much as I've read and heard. Gooch and Wise are the two chalky options in the 9K range, which, like I said, both make sense, right? Like, I haven't seen really any bad chalk yet. I take that back. So you might disagree with me on this. Adam Scott at the third, like, basically higher than – he's the third highest owned here. I do not like Adam Scott here.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about
it. Yeah, we can talk about that. And then an 8K range is really not chalk. The highest owned guy is 13%. My guy, Seamus Power. 7K range, you got Mito, you know, usual suspects. Johnny Vegas, right, long off the tee. That's pretty much it for the 7K range.
Definitely people were looking at a particular blueprint this week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess I missed HV3. HV3 at 14. So, yeah, so he's high out in the 6K range. usually, like we said, usual suspects, right? Luke List, Thigala, and then Swafford only at 5%. I mean, I feel like that's actually not bad based on how he's been playing lately. Seb Straka, I know he did well here last year, but I mean, 6% Seb Straka, what can go wrong? And then Denny
McCaskey. Yeah, people are just looking for the course history at that point.
Yeah, I mean, and the same thing with Denny McCarthy, 6%. And other than that, everything else is pretty much spread out.
So. Well, I mean, the Denny McCarthy thing, I've heard this a couple times, is he's the best Bermuda putter in the field. So yeah.
You gotta get to the green to give yourself a chance at par birdie for that.
Well, I mean, it's just funny coming from people that it's all about, oh, the ball striking and putting regression, and the one thing they're going to with this guy is about how he putts.
Yeah.
It kind of shows how hypocritical we can be sometimes in this industry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll twist whatever narrative we want.
Right.
So, absolutely.
So as far as the weather for this year, if you remember last year, it was pretty windy. It was firm. It was a fun time to watch. Yeah, so it hasn't been much rain, at least this week. And I think when I was doing a preview of the course last year, it drains pretty well. So I don't think it's going to – any rain they may have got last week or so, it's probably going to play pretty firm. You know, as far as, like, turf conditions, probably going to be the same. Not going to be a whole lot of wind, though. So I think guys will probably have a little easier time hitting greens, you know, keeping the ball in play. But I still think it's going to play tough, especially because it's 7,400 yards. And there's a lot of little tricks and nuances about this place that I think is going to annoy the guys. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun tournament and definitely a change of pace. Well, I hope it is. I hope it's a change of pace than like the 2,500s we've been seeing lately. And if it is, that's going to be a shame. But I'm hoping to see a little bit of karma this week. So.
Yeah,
why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll dive right into DraftKings.
All right, sounds good. Well, listen, if you guys are ready to win and boost your odds, WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. And we're bringing you the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. WinBet has some brand new bonuses. New users can bet $1 to win $100 on any sport. Plus, you can get up to a $1,500 as a free bet on WinBet if you make your first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, WinBet will match it 200%. $100 to get you $200. Max wager is $750. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. So we're ready to play. Sign up today and receive a special offer, a risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com.
All right, let's dive into DraftKings. Boston Capper, why don't you go first to the $10,000 range? Will you tell me about one guy you really like and one guy you're fading?
So, I mean, I'm not going to talk about Burns, right? He's just an obvious play. Form, everything, like, whatever. Like we come out Wednesday morning, so everybody's already listening to some stuff. So, you know all the reasons to play Burns, so I'm going to skip over that. I like Tyrrell Hatton, man. He played well here last year. He's good with his long irons. If he can putt, he's fine. Yeah, he's fine off the tee. He's nothing great, nothing terrible. He's not extraordinary long. He's not very short. But I love his iron play. I like his makeup. Like I said, played good here last year. And yeah, dude, he's my guy. And at 10K, he's one of the lower owned guys at 11%. I would have picked another dude, but I know you're going to talk about him, so I skipped him. I'm going to let you do that. And as far as my fade, it's Wolf, man. Like at this big boy course. He's not going to be able to play his two iron and his three wood off the box. He's going to have to take out the driver, and that's what gets him into trouble.
Say his name.
Wolf.
Well, don't actually say his name. There's a reason why you're fading him. That we're not going to mention on the show.
Oh, was he him too?
Yes, I sent you that message yesterday.
You did, and you know what's funny is I completely forgot until right now, but in reality, that's funny, that's hilarious. Yes, that just solidifies it. Like, I forgot. Like, that's perfect. That's so fucking perfect. Like, that makes me so happy. Like, yes, absolutely, 100% then. I might bet him to miss the fucking cut now.
Yeah, I think subconsciously you came to that decision because that was just deep in the recesses of your brain, and then you spun a narrative in order to.
Like, but I remember I was texting you. I was like, "Yo, is he ever going to take his driver out again? Like, he was so good off the box last week when he wasn't taking out his driver. And if you think about all his problems, it's when he goes wild off the box."
And I guess. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of trouble off the tee this week. That's kind of is why, like, and then Kepi kind of set that up this way. But no, I get it. I think it's, I don't hate it just based on who a certain person really likes this week.
That's hilarious. I completely forgot about that when I was doing that today.
All right. Well, I appreciate you not stepping all over me with my love of Cam Smith this week. And I mean, the narrative is just length, length, length. Well, I mean, he averages over the last 3 years, he's averaged 298.7 off the tee. And like, listen, I think there's just a magic mark of 300. And the fact that basically the difference between a guy who hits a 300 and how far he hits it is basically me, 6 foot me. It's not a difference at all. So length is not really an issue for me. Usually the issue with Cam Smith is that he is really erratic. He gets in trouble off the tee sometimes. Well, I mean, like we talked about on Sunday, there's not a whole lot of trouble off the tee. You know, where these guys are going to test at this place are uneven lies and around the green and navigating the undulated greens. And he has been great at a lot of those types of places. Augusta National, he's got 2 top 10s. Riviera, he has 2 top 10s. WGC Concession, I think he finished 11th too. You know, so a lot of golf courses that value, you know, good play around the green off tight lies and putting really well on fast undulated surfaces. And the fact that he just has been so good. Like, I crapped on him at the CJ Cup. I thought that wasn't a golf course for him, and he ended up finishing top 10. Yeah. I mean, he's come close to winning a couple times. His lone win came on Bermuda. I guess that solidifies it for me. So, yeah, I think he's getting overlooked a little bit this week because everybody's like, oh, bomber, bomber, bomber. And if it plays firm, he has plenty of pop off the tee in order to keep up. So
he's on a lot of outrights.
Is he? Well, yeah. I'm shielded from that.
That's, yeah, I know. I just want to let you know. Like, he's on a lot of outrights.
Okay. Well, you know what? Then I guess I'm going
to. You were on him first anyway. I already told you. You texted me on fucking Friday about him, or Saturday. Some fucking.
It was Saturday.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, bro. This tournament's not even.
So, and then my fade, I mean, I'm just going to keep sticking with my theory that just Tony Finau and Bermuda just doesn't mix. Like, okay. I hammered that at East Lake. You know, he didn't do well there. At WGC FedEx at, you know, St. Jude, he didn't do well there either. It seems like with Finau, either it's got to be bent grass, POA, or the overseeded stuff. And when it's pure Bermuda, his results haven't been as good. So if I'm going to criticize somebody in this range, I'm going to go with a guy that just doesn't have a very good track record on this type of turf, even if he did relatively okay last year. Like, it's just one tournament. So I really like Smith, and then I'm going to fade Tony Finau.
I like it. All right, 9K range. Who you got?
All right, so we start with Brooks Koepka at $9,900. We go all the way down to Patrick Reed, $9,000. Carlos Ortiz withdrew today, but he was nowhere really on my radar, so it doesn't really impact anything for me. You know, I'm not really sure why. I mean, I guess I know why. Everybody's going to Gooch and Aaron Wise of the ownership, but listen, I crapped on Joaquin Niemann last week, and he did good. And no one really knows. You don't really know why, because there was no source gain data, but maybe he figured things out. I mean, he finished top 10, and I would have thought, just based on how popular he was last week, that people would go to him. They're not, just because I guess he's priced around other guys who people like a little better, maybe better statistical darlings. But hey, listen, I mean, he's really long off the tee. And if he's right, you know, maybe he could do some damage here. So I like Niemann, especially if he's 10%, everybody else is 20 around him. I mean, I'm going to go to bat for Aaron Wise again. Listen, I know you're rolling your eyes because you think.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Okay.
I told you I don't hate him. I just hated the last week. I didn't like it. Shut down my throat, man.
I mean, it does seem, even though the DFS ownership is high, it doesn't seem like he's being shoved down your throat as much this week, right?
No. Correct.
Okay. So, all right. So there, your opinion has swayed a little bit. I guess since I mentioned Trinity Forest, I mean, his lone win came there. That was a golf course with tight Bermuda lies on undulated Bermuda greens. He just has been a stud. Like, I mean, he finished top 15 last week. I mean, I can only assume the ball striking was pretty good. You know, but he played well there last year. He's been playing well in general. I think I'm just going to keep riding him. And then my fade is, so I don't like Adam Scott for DFS. I don't mind if you put a top 10 prop on him, like plus 325. The one thing that really concerns me, and like, I mean, there's a lot to like about him. The fact that like a lot of my comp course history he did really good at, you know, on Bermuda, he's pretty good. Just tee to green in general. He's added a lot of length. He's a great iron player. What scares me is that he's a mess around the greens. Like I think the first round of the Shriners, he ended up making the cut, but like I was wondering if he had the yips around the greens. And if he has like a couple, maybe if he has like an off day with his irons, I really worry about the bogeys kind of piling up for him. Cause he's just a mess around him. So, and if you're struggling around the green, just having to chip off tight lies isn't really going to do it for you. So like, I think it got to one point, like it was a clear, obvious at the Shriners, it was clear and obvious he should chip onto the green, and he took a putter and he mm-hmm. came like 10 feet short. Like, that's how you know it's in his head. So
that's what I do.
Yeah. Well, that's the point of this golf course, is that you and I, we putt onto the surface, and if we're 15 feet away for par, we're like, all right, we'll take that little shot. Oh,
yeah, bogey golf, yeah. Baby, let's go.
But if you're Adam Scott and you're 15 feet away, like that doesn't cut it. So yeah, I think I would be careful with him with DFS. If you want to throw like a top 10 up prop on him, I think that's fine, because it's 3-1 in, and like, you know, if it hits, then you know, you cash. If you don't, then you just toss in the trash and hope something else gets it. So yeah, so I like Wise and Neiman, and I'm fading Scott. So what about you?
I mean, literally, like, every reason you said to fade Scott was why that's my fade too. This exact thing. He terrifies me around the fucking greens. And I know his putting is better, but he's still a guy who fucking, what was that tournament? Was it like 2 months ago where he had like a
window?
Yeah. I don't trust him at all. And especially around the greens. No, thank you. I'm with you on that. And then Gooch, man, like everybody loves Wise, right? Everybody loves Wise. Everybody loves Gooch too. Right. Based on this ownership, but Gooch has been better than Wise. He's been better than Wise recently. His form's really, really good. Yeah, man. Like, I would really like if this dude would break through. I mean, why can't he win here? You know what I mean? Why not? Like,
no, I agree. I think he can win. I think I never like coming off a guy who came off a really close call and kind of blew it on Sunday.
But he was top five at CJ too.
No, I know, but he wasn't really in the mix though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a thing. Like if you're like in the mix and you kind of blow it, the next week there's a little bit of hangover. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think he was tied with Hovland at one point on the front nine, and then, or he was one back. And then I think he doubled a hole, and it's like a really bad double on 18. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I have no argument on paper against Gooch. So I think just a preference. I think I'm more of an Aaron Wise guy. You're more of a Gooch guy. It's fine. Whatever. Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. So that's my pick in this range. I only grabbed one just because of my builds. I'm actually ended up getting two 10K guys and Gooch or Wise, and then going low, baby.
All right, I like hearing that. All right. Why don't we take another break, and then we'll keep breaking down the tiers.
All right, man. You guys have heard me talk about PropSwap. It is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Prop bets, PropSwap always has the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a bet you like, but you think the price is too high. Submit a bid for the price you think is fair, and then buy it. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. And if you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time, so your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every single day. So go get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right, let's move on to the $8,000 range. Capper, why are you kicking off with two guys you like and one guy you don't?
All right, so I got a question on a dude for you. And we'll do that after, right? So I'll get the two guys. But there's a guy who's nagging me. I feel like I want to pick, but I'm a little gun shy about it. So anyway, my guys, Seamus Power, man. I mean, you want to talk about a dude who's in great fucking form. Listen, you can like, he's in great form. Like, you know what I mean? He's long off the tee. Like, strokes gained. He's like 11th in the field. Like, whatever. Like he's playing well. He's not, and I know he's older than I thought he was. Right. But listen, maybe he figured it out. I mean, he's been good for a while now. Like, this isn't a field thing that's going to scare him off. Like, I'm telling you, I mean, what? Three top 20s, almost two top 10s his last two. Like, give me some Seamus Power. He's not uber chalky. I like him. And then I like.
Wait, did you say that Seamus is long off the box?
Yeah.
Okay. Who hits it farther, him or Cam Smith?
Smith.
Bad by a yard.
Yeah, whatever, dude. I mean, that's such splitting fucking hairs. Like, whatever. Like,
I listen. If I just correct the record, sir.
And I never said Smith was a short. I think he's fine off the box. Whatever. Fucking whatever, dude.
Continue.
One, yeah. You talk about 6 foot. You're talking about the length of the putter.
No, ball. You just say he's a bomber, and like
I didn't say he was a bomber. I said he's long off the box, and he can get long. Like, whatever. He's fine.
All right. Quote unquote long.
It is. Continue. All right, whatever. And I like him around the green. He's a great form. Like, whatever, man. I like him a lot. And then I like Leishman. Scares me a little bit around the green, but he's in pretty decent form from the last times we saw him. This seems like a golf course for him. I like his long iron approaches. He worries me off the box, and he's not so wild off the box that I worry about too much because, like you said, it's pretty wide open. He has not a lot of trouble off of it. So, yeah, man, give me Leishman. This is another one of my guys that I feel like I haven't seen in a while. But yeah, give me Leishman, and then really. I mean, a fade in here. I don't know. I wanted to fade Homa, but
are you looking for a reaction out of me?
No, this is not even a guy I have a question on. It's just like I wanted to fade. I don't really know. I don't think I'm really fading anybody in this range because I'm really not touching this range that much. I'm typically grabbing one of these guys on a different build and moving down, so I'm not really fading anybody.
You know, it's funny. I had the same reaction with this range. It's kind of like. I don't really love. I mean, there's one guy I love, like, but overall, there's not really a whole lot of guys I really like. But there's not really a whole lot of guys I really hate. Like, Seamus Power, okay. You know, Matt McNeely, okay. Lanto, okay.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like I it's kind of just meh. Like I don't really have strong opinions about.
This is your. I need some dinner quick from Grubhub. Chili's is fine. Let's get Chili's. Chili's is.
There
fine.
You go. There you go. I mean, I'm going to join you with Leishman. That's the
all
guy.
Right, really like let's go.
Range. So you mentioned that you're concerned about his performance around the green. Well, actually, over his last 12 rounds, he's gained about 0.4 strokes around the green. He's gained in his last three tournaments. He has two top fives. His last three tournaments, he putts really well in Bermuda. And like you said, like a lot of the concourses I looked at with tight lies around the green, undulated greens, Augusta National, you know, Trinity Forest, he was T2 there. So, yeah, I think especially if it plays a little more firm, I think this is a golf course for him. I wish it was maybe a little more windy, but hey, look, I mean, I like his form. I think he's back, and I think as his ownership, I like him too. You know, I didn't want to like Russell Henley this week because he's so short off the box, but. When I dug into it, he's hitting the ball really well lately. Problem is he can't make a putt. But I looked at his putting performances. He's gained the last couple times he's been on Bermuda.
Okay.
So, and that is his best surface. If he matches at least just a little bit, like if he just field average on Bermuda, the way he's hitting the ball, even if he is so short, and he did relatively okay there last year. I like him. And then my fade is usually a guy I like. It's Bazanhut.
Okay.
And I feel like with him, like he's like Russell Henley short, like Bazanhut is short. Like he's not averaging more than 285 off the tee in the PGA Tour. That is that's really weird, short. And it's all it. I feel like with him, it's going to be, even though his iron numbers look good, I think it's going to be most, I think he's going to hit less greens than most people because it's hitting from longer distances back. I think the margin for error for him is a lot bigger than most guys. It's going to come down to how well he gets up and down and well how he putts. Basically, it's like Kenny McKenzie Hughes this thing, and I don't really ever want to be on the side of McKenzie Hughes at a tournament like this. So just the fact I think his margin for error is a lot smaller than most people, he's my fade.
Well, I like that for one of my bets later. Then that makes me
happy. Okay.
Perfect. So the guy I wanted to ask you about, my other guy, Kokrak. There's no. Yeah, I dude. So he's. I haven't pulled. Like he hasn't been in any of my shit. But as I'm prepping for the show and I'm going through stuff and I'm like, I keep scrolling by his name and I'm like, I haven't thought about him yet. I haven't done anything. There's not a lot of bunkers on this fucking course. He looks like he's from Texas.
So what would you say to the fact that he's actually over his last two tournaments, he's gained strokes around the green?
Has he really?
And yet he's still been bad.
Yeah. So like, what is it? Is his irons just gone to shit?
So he's been really bad off the tee. I mean, I can explain away the CJ Cup off the tee because if you were just a little offline, it does.
Yeah.
At the Shriners with like 80 yard wide fairways, he lost strokes off the tee. Like that was a tournament I think you were on that.
I was.
Yep. let's see. Going back to 21. I mean, T11 at the Tour Championship. I think he was actually like T7, though. He was good there, good at BMW. Like, then he went through that weird stretch at Northern Trust and Wyndham. He was bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think just what's concerning to me is just, I mean, his iron numbers weren't very good. Just like, I feel like if he, well, I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to play him on DFS, but that might be somebody I might throw it out right on later. It's not a great number either.
It's like 50-1, right?
Yeah, it's 50, I think.
Hang on. Maybe 50. top 10 at like 4-1 would be a good jumping off point. And with the opportunity to maybe live bet it if he makes some noise like on Friday. Because I think with a guy like him heading into the weekend, if he's like 4 or 5 back, you still can get him at like 25-1.
Yeah,
he's not, because there's probably going to be a couple guys above him that'll be like 8-1.
Right.
And then he's not a big enough name where, like, they'll put a premium on him. Like, if JT was like 6 back, like, they'll obviously make 8-1.
That's fair.
Maybe wait.
I'm trying to find. So, Kokrak's fucking 2-1 on a top 10.
Oh, on your book?
Yeah, dude. So it's like, dude, you want to talk about gross fucking.
And, well, maybe targeted a matchup then.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
see how he plays on Friday. See what it looks like off the box.
Well, I mean, like a pre-tournament matchup. I don't know what he's paired up because I don't have a co-correct matchup with him. But I mean, maybe that's the play.
I'll have to go back and look.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
Thank you. $7,000 race. I'm not going to go through all the names, but so I mean, I kind of just stuck to kind of the blueprint I'm looking for. Just if you have pretty good length, you know, that's a plus for me. If you're good with your long irons, pretty good for me. If you got a little bit of course history, it's good for me too. So, I mean, I like playing Eric Van Rooyen on a golf course where I feel like there's a lot of real estate to navigate off the tee for him. Like that was a guy who he missed. I think he was almost dead last at the Shriners or something, just because it was so short. Yep. Then I played him at Summit Club and he just missed on a top 20 for me, but still he played really well that week. I like him here. I think this is it shows he played well at this event last year. He's long off the box. He's a good long iron player. I think it's going to help him. Ryan Palmer's been playing a little better lately. You know, he had a top 30, I think, last week?
Yeah.
You know, he's a long hitter. He's a, you know, he's an average scrambler. I think what I like about him, though, is remember that Scottish Open, the Renaissance Club?
Yeah.
Well, that was a joke. And he finished fourth. Yep. So listen, if you're looking for a narrative of trying to go with Ryan Palmer,
there's not a lot of water on this course, right?
Well, if you're looking for a narrative of Ryan Palmer, that's not, he's a Texas guy. You can say, hey, on the last time we played a Doak course, he finished top 5. And there was a lot of similarities to that one. Just the fact that, you know, it's a lot of tight lies, undulated greens. I mean, it was a lot slower than these greens, but similar green structures and green surrounds as this place. So yeah, I mean, maybe he's going to feel right at home there. And then two guys, two Corn Ferry guys, well, not Corn Ferry guys, but two new guys, basically going back to, well, Taylor Pendrith. I thought he played really well at the Bermuda. He's a long hitter. You know, he's in his limited shot link starts. He's proven to be really good around the green and a really good putter on Bermuda. So like him, the same thing to Taylor Moore, basically a carbon copy almost of Taylor Pendrith, just really long, decent scrambler, has been putting pretty well. So those are my two guys, the 7,200, 7,100, I like down that range. So yeah, so like Pendrith, Moore, Palmer, and Van Rooyen, basically just my cookie cutter bomber template for this range.
All right, so maybe I'm going to have to look into Moore a little more because I'm on Pendrith too. Whatever, I like being on new guys. They're the devil we don't know, right? Long off the tee, played well. You were on him. Was it last week you were on him or the week before?
It was Bermuda. I was on him.
Right. So 2 weeks ago. So yeah, listen, man, what's good for the goose, right? So, so I'll take, I like him as well. And then I texted you earlier about another guy that I'm on, and you said gross, but not, I don't remember what it was, like gross, but not disgusted or something like that. So Jason Day, man, like that's a dude who's still long, good. Like he played well here last year. Yeah, I trust him around the greens. I trust him to be able to putt on undulating greens. Like, I know he's been a fucking absolute disaster lately, but I don't know. whatever. Like, it looked like he was making a little comeback there over the summer and then just completely fucking fell off. But he was also playing the Open. And then he had some, I don't know, he had some shit going on with it. Like, I don't know, some sort of like travel thing, a sponsorship thing. Whatever, man. I'm just going to take a stab. It's 7K. I'm not saying go overweight on day, but yeah, I mean, I like day. I haven't seen him in fucking forever. Why not?
All right. Oh, right. Was that and only then, two guys? Was that only
yeah,
two
it's
guys?
Only two. Yeah, it's only two. So, and then I'm going back to the well with HV3. All the reasons I was on him last week, like what, like maybe the dad swag turned into dad tiredness. You know what I mean? New baby, didn't know what was going on. Like, he's been really good up until last week. The problems with him is, you know, it's off the tee, and then all of a sudden putting will just disappear for him. But it's always off the tee, so if it's not going to be crazy off the tee, then whatever, man. He had like four top 20s out of his last five before Mayakoba. So yeah, give me HV3. He's long, ish, and yeah. Give it to me. I like HB3.
All right. Sounds good. Why don't we take another break and then we'll close out DraftKings.
All right. Sounds good. Well, listen, I got to talk to you guys about Better Fantasy. It's a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the matchups. You can cash out for gift cards when your bets hit and even help raise money for charity along the way, which we do like here at this podcast. Brand new company looking to grow their early adopter community. It's a slick app and it is fun to use. One of the reasons we love it is they all also offer prop betting. So if you're in a state like Florida that doesn't have legalized gambling yet, you can get in on some prop bets on Better Fantasy. It's totally free to play. Download today on the iPhone and Android app. Make sure to go check them out at Better, and that's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGP. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN.
All right, time to go dumpster diving, which apparently is a range you love to be in this week. So why don't you just reveal your grandmaster plan in this range?
So what's funny is I like a lot of the guys at the higher end. But you know what's funny is, so I like Keith Mitchell too at 7K. I count him as dumpster diving. It's Bermuda. He's long. Whatever. I don't think he's going to fucking win the tournament. But in DraftKings, if he can make the cut, he'll score for you. So... Dude, Russell Knox has a pretty good history here. He's been playing okay. I liked him early in the week when, for some reason, I thought it was going to be windier. I don't know why I thought that. No idea. Yesterday, I was like, I think it's going to be windier. I just thought it. Like, I didn't look at anything. I was like, ah, it'll be windy. It's Texas.
You live your own truth, buddy.
I do. That's right. But I still like Knox, man. He's going to be a sub 5% owned. Good course history here. He's a little bit of a short knocker for me, but he's good with his long irons, and yeah, I like him. And then I texted you about him earlier, Luke List. Like, come on. Like, why not? Why fucking not? Why not? Like, yeah, Luke List. And then if you want to go lower than Luke List, oh, man, what is that? What the hell is that? I can't even read my own fucking writing. So now I have to scroll. Is that K?
What? What are you talking about?
I'm trying to read my writing, bro. I can't read it.
Samsonite?
Fuck you. Leviota.
God, okay.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. Dude, this is the 6K range. This is like where I sprinkle. So I really wanted to play Poston, but he is just hot garbage right now. I can't play him. And... Yeah. I'm really annoyed that I can't read that last fucking.
All right. I mean, you said like three or four.
Yeah. So, but hold on. Where the fuck? Who was it? Now we're gonna have to open up my DraftKings and fucking go find it.
All right. Why don't I go? So, I mean, yeah. I know Lewis is popular.
Long. Adam Long.
Okay. So, because you missed on him last week at a golf course that was good for him, and then you're gonna play him this week.
And this is he played well here last year.
He did play.
And he played well last week.
He played. There you go. Ryan the form.
Let's go. Okay. That. By the way, I thought an L was a K. That just shows you how bad my chicken scratches are. Like, what the fuck is that?
All right. Just lost my train of thought. I mean, look. I know Luke List is popular, but he basically is fitting everything I'm looking for this week. So, I mean, I'm just going to hope that the ownership isn't really too crazy on him. And that there's a couple guys in the seven range that I like that either will probably have, you know, like mid, like single digit ownership that I can differentiate with. So that's fine. I mean, Hudson Swafford, he's been good, man. And he's long off the box and good long iron player. So,
okay.
I mean, you know, everybody wants to go with Denny McCarthy because he's such a good Bermuda putter. And but why do you go with the guy who was just the same price as him, who was infinitely longer off the box than him, and Wyndham Clark? And he averages 312 off the box, and he's a good putter on Bermuda. He's a good scrambler. He does exactly basically the same things as Denny McCarthy does, just he's 20 yards longer off the tee. And I mean, it went well for McCarthy last year. It didn't go well for Clark last year. It's one round. Who's to say it might flip this year? So, and then, I mean, like, I like Tagala. I think he's a good player, but he's popular. But again, he's long, you know, it's limited rounds of putting on Bermuda, but he's shown he can at least putt on it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't love this range as much as you do. I think it's probably because I have maybe a little bit different builds than you do. But yeah, those are my two guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got to have to sprinkle it in down here and hope that you fucking hit. If you want to play Burns and you want to play Smith, like, it's a must. Like, okay. It really is. Like, it's fucking impossible. Right. So what do you think about... So if I could be misremembering this. So if I'm misremembering this, let me know. What about Snedeker? Isn't he the one who fucked me out of a first-round leader bet last year? I think so. I
didn't go back and look at first round.
Okay, I'm pretty sure he fucked me out of our first. I'm pretty sure Snedeker was the first round leader. I could be way off, but I'm pretty fucking sure. But anyway, so no Sneds. All right.
No, I didn't say no Sneds. I just said
he's a short knocker of the short knockers. He is the king of the short knockers.
I mean, he's accomplished of anybody. Comp course history that I have on him, which is really old. Is good and better than anybody's in this range. Okay. I mean, if Mackenzie Hughes could top 10 here, Snedeker could do a Mackenzie Hughes.
At 1%, and I'm pretty – so, I'm going to look it up. Philip Houston Open 2020. This is great radio.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Yeah. So why don't I do my big short, and then you can reveal to the audience what you found. So, excuse me. I think just overall with this field, I'm just feeling kind of blah. Like, okay. I don't really have a lot of strong, like, hate takes. And I got a couple love takes, but, like, I guess I'm just going to go with, I know he's not really all that popular, you know, in DFS, but it's just a take I have. I think Tony Finau probably is going to finish outside of the top 40 this week just because I don't trust him on Bermuda. And I think that's a lean that I've had that's been pretty successful. I know that he's a bomber. I know that he should theoretically do well at a golf course of this setup. But for whatever reason, Bermuda hasn't worked out for him. So Tony Finau finishes outside the top 40 this week.
I like it.
All right. What about your rubbish report? Basically anything you want to rant on. So ahead. The floor is yours.
So what's funny is I forgot about this fucking segment until, I don't know, 20 minutes prior. So here's what I'm going to say. The rubbish report is, I was going to do the whole NFL, but that's just too much, right? So I'm just going to go with NFL refs because I saw something on Twitter yesterday that I have been taking for granted this entire time that I've been a golf fan. We don't really have refs who can fuck up a round. You know what I mean? Like, how lucky are we? Like, I didn't even think about this until it was like a fucking that meme where it's like it shows the brain, and then blows up. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I don't have to worry about fucking some asshole umpire, some asshole zebra involving themselves in the back nine at the Masters. You know what I mean? Like, we are so fucking lucky that we don't have to deal with the NFL refs, the MLB umpires, the guys who think the shows are about themselves and they want to throw their penalties. And did you see the way that dude threw the fucking penalty after he hip checked that dude last night?
Yeah, I did.
He finger rolled it, bro. He finger rolled it. He was like, Tony Corrente, I'm on TV. Like, thank fucking God we don't have to deal with that shit. Like what's funny is the when we do have to deal with it, we usually take their side. Like when Brooks was trying to say he couldn't hit that fucking ball, and we were like, dude, the judge has it, dude. You can swing through that ball. You know what I mean? Like, we don't hate refs. Like, they don't decide our favorite sports championships, games. Like, it's fucking great. I mean, there's always one-offs, like the Dustin thing, you know what I mean? Like, but 99.7% of the time, we are free to have to worry about somebody who is not taking part in the competition, fucking the competition up. And so that's it.
All right. I like that take. I mean, it's funny. Really, you make a great point. And I think the only time I'm really like upset about you know, the rules and a rep or something. It's like if a guy gets a favorable drop when he probably shouldn't, or like if he gets a drop that he only gets and we wouldn't get, mostly right. because like, all right, he blasted 50 miles, like less of a grandstand, but he can pull it back 30 yards behind him, has a clear shot of the green, like stuff like that. But that's more of a PGA Tour problem. It's not really right. the rest problem.
It's not the rest problem. They didn't put the grandstand there.
No, I mean, he's just forcing the rule. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, besides the Patrick Reed fiasco, he just took advantage of a rules official with that. I mean, you're right. I mean, they never seem like they really interject themselves into the proceedings. And it seems like we're always taking the side of the rule official, because usually the rule official is like, suck it up and just hit this ball.
Exactly. It's so weird. It's a completely different experience as a sports fan. And until that dude said it, I can't remember who said it. Like, I hate not to give the credit to whoever tweeted it, but I can't fucking remember. And but I was like, oh, my God. That's the best fucking point I've ever heard. I don't even think about it when I'm watching golf that I have to worry about some ref coming in fucking this thing up. I was like, it's just a less stress. It's fucking beautiful. And the NFL is just constantly finding a way to step on its own dick. And if it wasn't for fantasy and gambling, like the product, the NFL product, 95% of the games suck to watch. Like the play is not good. And like, if you didn't have fantasy or you weren't betting on the game, you would give no fucks about last night's game. Like, who's watching that unless you live in Pittsburgh or Chicago? No one.
Yeah. Yeah. It probably would just become like a regional sport like baseball or something like that. But I mean, yeah. I mean, all right. Well,
yeah, I'll let you get away with hockey. Hockey's regional.
All right. I would like to thank the refs for helping shepherd my survivor pool pick.
Oh yeah, he was so.
I saw all the landmines last week. I'm probably going with a safer play this week. I'm not really liking it. I had to live on the edge on Monday night and stay up till midnight.
Yeah, that's too late for Steve unless he's RBV in it.
All right, why don't we take another break and then we'll get into our best bets of the week.
All right, sounds good. Well, listen, have you guys heard of Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. You can go listen to the NBA podcast with Moonoff. Those boys are always spitting up props that are profitable. I blindly follow them. Most of the time they win. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of the users that deposit use promo code SGP will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You pick 2 to 5 players in over under on their projections, and you win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries, so you can take over on LeBron combined with under on Mahomes, and use the award-winning app on both App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made within 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code SGP to get 100% instant deposit match up to $100, or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
All right, Ben time. Boston Capper, tournament head-to-heads. Why don't you go first with what you got this week?
All right, so you said you hated this market, and so I hated it on the book that you know that I have, but my local had some that I liked, which is good because I fucking hate the rest of the top 10s, top 20s. I got one.
Okay.
So I got Seamus Power over Zaydenhout.
Okay.
-110.
All right.
Listen, love Powers. Don't like Zaydenhout being a short knocker, like you said. Fucking even, basically, you know, whatever, head to head. Let's go. And then Cam Smith, even against Sungjae. You can't say you're going to bet him outright and then take him even money against the guy who will have a blow up day. This is a full tournament matchup. Really? It's not a regular day.
I think there's a difference between spending a guy 25-1 to win a tournament than taking him head to head in a matchup against another guy I actually really like.
Oh, do you like him? He's your new kryptonite. He really is.
All right, I'll get to him in a little bit. There's a lot of things you want to like about him at this golf course too. But
he didn't play well there last year. I haven't seen him in a while.
That was last year.
Okay, I'm just saying. Listen, dude. It's gambling. So I really like Smith. I don't trust him. I'll take him over 4 days. Hopefully only over two. Those are my favorite tournament matchups that end on fucking Friday.
All right. Well, there's an outcome to both that makes both of us happy.
So. Fine. That's what we're here for. We're here to share the love.
There we go.
And then I've already told you my feelings on Gooch and Wolf. I can get Gooch at even money over Wolf. Give it to me.
Full fade.
Let's go.
All right.
And then I got two more. Oh, I got two.
Oh, wow. You really.
Only one more matchup. Sorry. And then I got your boy, Wise, over Scott, -110. I really don't trust Scott. And look, Wise, like you said, shoved me in a locker last week. So be it. Like, it is what it is. And he's a good course fit here. He's played well here. Like, let's go. Give me a Wise over Scott.
Okay. All right. Well, I only had two just because I didn't really like the offerings to me. And right. This is kind of a stretch.
Would you have taken any of the ones I said if they were offered to you?
I mean, I would have taken Sheamus Power over Bezanu because I also am fading Bezanu in a matchup. Probably not, though. I don't know. I mean, like, I get some of those, it could go either way.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't really like doing that. So. But, I mean, the guy I'm fading Bezanin on in a match was Matt McNeely. I don't feel awesome about this, but, I mean, McNeely can do just basically everything around the green and putting that Bezanin can do, but McNeely is longer. Yeah. So I it's -120 over him. I like that. Huh. And then I just – Mackenzie Hughes is getting love this week because of his top 10 last year. And what you need to remember is that was a tournament that was really windy and no one was hitting greens. And when it's those types of conditions, Mackenzie Hughes tends to do a little better.
And didn't he drain like, was this a tournament where he hit like some ungodly amount of feet and putts on the last day?
It seems like that's every tournament with him.
But no, but this was even ungodly for him, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Probably. I mean, it might have been. But so I mean, he's paired up against another short knocker, Russell Henley, and I'm going to trust the guy who's a better ball striker over a guy who I don't think has the advantages he had last year, Mackenzie Hughes. So Russell Henley's -125 over him. I like that. Those are the only two I was on.
Like it.
I looked at a couple others. I didn't fall in love with any. I ended up devoting some of the capital that I would have played in matchups towards top 20s and made a couple of their FOMO outrights that I wanted to get on. Have a little more fun.
I got you.
All right. All right. How about some positional props? I'll go first with I get two top tens. I mean, like I just mentioned, Sungjae Im, I can get him +250 for a top 10. I know he didn't do well last year, but this is this year. At some of the golf courses I looked at that I comped this place, he's done very well. He has enough pop off the tee, gains a lot of strokes off the tee, good long iron player. He's scrambling really well. He's a good putter on Bermuda. So, I mean, what more can you ask for with that? He's in good form. I like him. And then Joaquin Neiman +350 for a top 10. I mean, maybe he's just figured things out. And if he has, I think this is a golf course that fits his strength. He's not popular. And I kind of dig that. So maybe he's woken up from whatever slumber he was in. So I'll take Neiman and him for top 10s. And then top 20 market. We had a discussion about this. And last week, we both capitalized pretty good on the books hanging a stupid number on Justin Thomas. Yeah. Top 20. And maybe I'm getting too cute, but I really respect Sam Burns' game. I think he is going to be a really talented player next year and really break through into like the upper echelon of like the elite.
Yeah, I agree.
And I got access to a top 20 in Sam Burns at even money. I took it. I football bet it.
I hate that shit.
I know. So, I mean, I took that.
This might be the week I have to open up that stupid Seminole app, but then maybe for the next bonus, I'll open up under my wife's name and social because.
Right. Because that's the only one you have access to in Florida. You don't have access to WinBet, unfortunately. No. Otherwise you'd be there. Yeah. So, I mean, some other top 20s I'm on. Ryan Palmer, top 20 +350. Like I mentioned earlier, he did do well on the last Doak course. He does have some length. And so I like him. I'm on Taylor Moore and Taylor Pendrith. The top 20 is a +400. And then Luke List, top 20 +375. I already explained those guys in DFS why I like them. Usually when there's guys in the $7,000 range or $6,000 range, I like it. I usually go out ahead and just put a top 20 in them too. So, all right. What positional props do you like?
I have two. I also have Luke List top 20, as we texted about earlier tonight. And then I took Jason Day top 10, fucking 5-1. Gives a shit. Whatever, man. I look at these things and every week I'm like, I'm going to be better and I'm going to bet more top 10s and top 20s. And then I look at them and the odds just, nope, just doesn't do it for me. That's it. Like, I can't. And I don't have a strong enough feeling about some of these younger or some of these lower cats to, like, bet a top 10 on them. You know what I mean? Like, Burns at plus 150. Like, am I not a football bet? I'd football bet fucking even money top 20. Like, more than football. I would quadruple bet that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a little more wiggle room as far as error for Sam Burns at top 20. As far as, yeah, I mean, listen, like, It's hard to make top 10s on the PGA Tour. It only takes, I mean, there's going to be a couple guys you don't expect they're going to be there. Yep. A couple of the guys you do expect to be there. And then it leaves basically
three or four spots. Right.
Yeah. So. I don't hate that take. Yeah. Usually for top 10s, it needs to be plus 250 or up.
Yep.
And I usually don't venture past 5-1 on those. No. Otherwise, I just say, why don't I just go top 20 at half the odds?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Because found money is found money.
Exactly.
So. All right. Any other props you're on, like first round leader, nationality props? Yeah. Okay, go for it.
So I know I said I know I said that he's your kryptonite, but I feel like the Burns top 20, and I feel like this bet is the second easiest bet. Top fucking Asian Sungjae Im minus 120. I football bet that shit this morning.
Okay, over who's this competition?
Fucking CT Pan, and I don't know anybody else.
Let's okay. All right, I thought you were going to go with the Henrik Norlander minus 150 over Henrik Stenson.
No.
That's available this week.
What's funny is I almost did, but I'm like, nah, that's fuck it. No, that's fine. I already took my medicine on that. I'm not going to do it again. And yeah, that's it. And he looked all right. Norlander looked all right. Stenson looked all right. Now, I don't know if he's going to be his trusted three wood all day at this course, but. I'm still not betting it just because
I don't think he actually looked okay last week. I think he had a bad Friday, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Whatever. You didn't bet. It doesn't matter.
You love that, right?
What's that?
Im. You love that.
Well, yeah, I really like Sungjae Im this week. So, right. I mean, I think CT Pan's fine, but yeah, it's basically head to head against CT Pan and whatever and other Asians there.
Lahari and then your boy.
Oh, Anirban?
Yeah.
Oh, he played good last week.
Yeah, whatever. The, And then your boy Sung Kang.
All right. So basically, it's just Sungjae minus and a coin flip over there. Yeah, I don't hate that.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking good. I like it.
All right. I already bet Taylor Pendrith top 20, so I didn't really want to double down on going low Canadian. But that was one that caught my eye. So his competition in that. So Mackenzie Hughes is the favorite, plus 185. Pendrith is next at 3-1. You got Nick Taylor, Adam Svensson, and Roger Sloan, each at 4.25 and 5-1 each. I mean, I like Pendrith this week, and I don't buy Mackenzie Hughes, and those other guys I'm not really concerned with either. They don't really move it for me. So
I can get that at plus 250 with no dead heat.
All right, do it then.
Okay.
I mean, I think the odds should be a little closer. I think he's a really talented player, and I think he's a better fit this golf course than the favorite Mackenzie Hughes is. So, why don't you go bet that?
I'm writing it down right now.
All right. Make sure you actually bet what I tell you, by the way.
Yeah, man, I'm not drunk right now.
All right. Why don't we take one more break, and then we'll get to our outrights.
All right. Well, listen, do you feel like the last one out when it comes to sports betting? Don't know where to start? If you're listening to this show, you don't, but there's still going to be good information on this stuff. So understand where the market is moving, which smart bets are out there, and have some fun listening to while you're at it. BetQL Daily is the must-listen show for sports bettors and sports fans alike. Host Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth serve up your wagertainment that the sports talk you love with betting insights you need each weekday. Find out where the market is moving across all the biggest sporting events. Miss out on earlier games? BetQL Daily has that covered too, with recaps from some of the biggest recent moments in sports. If you're not sure where to start with sports betting, start with BetQL Daily. Listen weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Audacity, Spotify, and your favorite podcast app. And of course, do not forget to go download the SGPN app. The app gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. And don't forget to go toss us an app review and download the app today.
Well done.
Thanks, all buddy. Right. That was
fun. Let's go to. All right, we'll do better next week. All right, outright bets, Boston Capper, why don't you go first? What are your?
Oh, we didn't do any first round leaders.
That was for the other props.
That's my own category in my brain, bro.
Well, then fine, go to your first round leader props. Go with it.
All right. So Scotty, because he Scotty and 33-1. Gimme Gooch at 33-1. HB3, 50-1. Jason Day at 80-1. Harry Higgs at 90-1. Killer Keith Mitchell, 100-1. And then Ramey, because you were on him the other week. And,
so we talked about him in the Slack. The problem with him is he's really short off the tee.
Is he?
That's a guy who, like, it's tricky to look at these early season samples of driving distance because it's only like so to pull back the curtain and how they do this stuff. It's two drives around and then the average of that. So for Ramey, he only has I think eight to 10 drives total that's actually being measured. I don't know. Maybe it's more like 20, but regardless, it's a really small sample size. But the thing is with him is if you look back to the Korn Ferry Tour stats, he's always consistently been short. He's always been shorter than like Pendrith or more, something like that. That's my only concern with Ramey.
Steve, you know, this is your job is to teach me about the new people so I can decide who is in the crew and then who stays associated.
I mean, you should have read the Slack. You know, I said the exact same thing up there.
Bro, I've been busy. All right. And then your boy Pendrith, 80-1. Let's fucking go.
There we go. All right. Why don't we go down rates?
Ramey's dead money. Awesome.
They're watching me first on leader now after I said
that. I know, right?
All right. Outright time. Why don't you go?
All right. So I got your boy. Jumped on him when you told me on Saturday that you wanted him. So Monday it came out better. I got him 25-1, Cam Smith. I got Gooch at 30-1. I got Hatton at 33-1. I got Leishman at 55-1. And then my only bomb is Day at 90-1. What?
Leishman 55-1.
Yeah, I waited.
Holy crap, that's a lot better than what I got him at.
Is it? I waited. I bet it today.
Wow. All right. Well, that's all right. You'll be disgusted the number I got him at.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I bet Mark Leishman. I only got him at 35-1.
Holy shit! Did I finally beat you at a number? This never happens.
You beat me pretty good at a number.
I need a soundboard.
I need
to buy a soundboard.
I think on WinBet he was 40-1, and I don't have access to that. The best I could do is 35 on my book. Yeah, that is an outlier, sir. I love that price.
Hold on.
Good on you.
Keep going.
All right. I mean, listen. Like for all the reasons I said. Earlier in the DFS portion, I love the fact that he's been really good on golf courses with undulated greens and tight lies. I love the fact he's been playing a little better lately too. I mean, he's been playing a lot better lately. Everything's been good. You said he was concerned about his performance around the greens. We've been playing pretty well there. Putts really well in Bermuda. I love it. And he's not really all that popular this week. I think people are overlooking him. So,
the old book we used to share is hanging 50 still.
Good Lord. All right.
Don't worry. You'll have 9 places to choose from soon.
I shouldn't cry. I'm going to be very spoiled come Super Bowl Sunday if they actually get it off the ground by then.
I think there's going to be a lot of $1,000 in bonus credit.
I know. But I think there's going to be a lot of. I think there's going to be a lot of angry bettors around the Super Bowl who want to bet on here in New York, and they're slow to roll it out or something. Something will happen. It's too good to be true. So. All right. Well, I'm also on Cam Smith 25-1 for all the reasons I said earlier. I don't need to repeat it. Two guys I didn't mention the $7,000 range that I like that I wanted to save to here.
Okay.
So I'm going back to the well with Gary Woodland again. He missed the cut on the number at Mayakoba. It seemed like what happened there was he was 4 under after the first day. He was doing pretty well. And then on Friday, he was a little erratic off the tee. He missed a couple putts, missed the cut on the number. This is a golf course. I think that gives him a little more room. Off the tee, he was hitting the ball pretty well heading into last week. You know, his green regulation rate was okay at Mayakoba. So I think he's still hitting his irons good. And I mentioned on Sunday, I cross-referenced a little bit with TPC Scottsdale. Well, Woodland is a former winner there. You know, I think with Kapalua, if you want to do the core Crenshaw Doak, like similar architectural style link, you know, he was pretty good at Kapalua. So yeah, I like Woodland here at 8-1. This was the guy, and I said there was going to be a bomb that I did that I thought you were going to FOMO bet. And I didn't mention it in the DFS portion. Maybe this is the week, and I say this with, we've been on a really good run of winners lately. Like, you look at the guys who won the following, like Holmgren, Rory, Sam Burns, Hideki, like even Lucas Herbert, when, you know, you bet him and got him at the Bermuda, like he's an established user name. I think we're due for a stinker.
Okay. All right.
Harry Hague's been playing really good, man.
Oh, fuck you. All right.
And listen, he was top 10 at the CJ Cup, top 20 at the Wyndham, top 20 at the Northern Trust. Like, there's a lot of things that I noticed in his profile that actually I kind of like here. You know, pretty good on Bermuda golf courses. He averages 300 off the box. He's been hitting his irons pretty good lately. Good scrambler, good putter on Bermuda, too. Maybe this is the time for Harry Hayes to finally get his win in 125-1. I like him. And then I made two FOMO outright bets. I know you're going to hate.
Okay.
But it's the number, and I can spin a narrative with it.
Okay.
So the first narrative is what everybody's talking about. I'm just blindly betting Brooks at 28-1.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it.
That's fine. I get it. I completely understand. I just won't take it.
I mean, I feel like this is deja vu right now, where I remember at the Farmers, he was searching. He was coming off two missed cuts. Things were crappy. And then he went to a golf course that he liked, that had good success at, and he turned around and won. And now he's going to a golf course that he literally helped design and had good success at last year. That now the fact that it's going to be 7,400 yards, like, that is Brooks all over it right there. All those long par fours, all the long par fives.
I'm not going to let you chuck me into it.
Fine, but you don't have to. I went down that road. And then it got to a point where Patrick Reed's number dipped to 40 that I just bet it blind.
Okay. All right. I don't hate it. I did the same thing.
Recently finish second somewhere, so I know he has some sort of form in him.
Yeah.
He randomly shows up on golf courses that don't seem to fit his profile, and he ends up winning anyways. Like, if I talk about some of the comp courses that I like for this place, I mean, Augusta National, he's won at. Kapalua, he's won at. WGC Concession, he finished top 10 at. All those places feature pretty tight, you know, well, Augusta's overseeded, but tight Bermuda lines. You know, Concession and Gus Nash were undulated fast greens.
And he was fine until he duck hooked it into the fucking woods on 16.
Yeah.
Concession.
So
Patrick Reed, asshole.
So you know what? I can the fact that it's the number, he has a lot of win equity, and he just randomly shows up when he least expect it. I don't know. I bet it. Now I can sleep.
All right, I don't hate it. Oh, I don't hate it.
So there you go. Those are my six outrights. And
I'm gonna end up betting Brooks.
You're probably gonna end up betting Harry Higgs and Brooks.
I just bet Harry Higgs.
There you go. So,
but I only got him at 110-1. Sorry. Yeah. So,
you know, shorter number. There's not really much difference between 110 and 125 at that point.
Yeah. 15.
You're still pretty happy if you cash.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
You don't have to adjust your unit size that much to hit your target. Not there if it's 110.
That's what she said. The
All right, you got anything else before we wrap this up?
That's it. That's it, baby. Let's get back on a streak, man. You, anything else?
No, that's it. Let's hope for a
All right, wrap it up then. All right. You guys know where to find Steve. Twitterless Steve is in the Slack, dropping knowledge like always. Go check out all his articles. They come out Sunday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I don't know. The motherfucker writes a lot. So they're always out. And yeah, go there. You can find me on Twitter, Boston_Capper. And yeah, let's break them fucking books, boys. Let's go.